Okay, and yeah, we're live. Awesome. Yeah, so good morning, everybody. Brother Bartimaeus coming here to you from the St. Cuthbert Mission here in Cumming, Georgia today. So very excited about this, this opportunity to sit down and kind of talk with you, with all of you, and kind of explain some of the things going on, you know, in the church at large, right? But also here inside of our tiny little neck of the woods, in our tiny little abbacy here. So for those of you that may not know, I'm a member of the Order of St. Columba. I founded this order actually several years ago, and just now actually been able to really get started with it. And I've been blessed to have three men, potentially a fourth, in formation to take the habit next June, one of which will actually be receiving the habit in February. So very, very many prayers to Father Joseph for as he moves closer and closer towards taking his simple promises into the order. And he's going to actually take a position as the prior of the Savannah province. So very excited for him and for all the things going on for him. He's also launched a new mission down there. So, which we've posted on our website. So please just keep that in your prayers and keep that inside of your mind, right? As we move forward and kind of what we're doing. You know, our mission is primarily that of bringing souls to Christ, bringing souls to Jesus, right? Because it's only through that activity that mankind can be saved, society can be saved, marriages can be saved. It's only when people hear the true message and gospel of Jesus Christ that we are actually going to be able to do the work that he has called us to do. And this society that we're living in is going to be transformed into something so much greater. And do not think, brothers and sisters, that at this moment in time that we are not at war, for we are. But our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, right? As St. Paul tells us inside of Galatians. So this morning, you may be asking, okay, well, what are we talking about this morning? What's going on? So I wanted to cover two things. First off, I wanted to cover some things going on with this synod, because that's been big news inside of the entirety of the church, you know, both really all of us have been sitting here kind of wondering what's going to happen with this and how we're going to see this church kind of change and how it's going to or not change, but evolve, right? What is the Holy Spirit calling us to do and how should we live, right? And what the ironic part is that whenever this whole synod started earlier this month, everyone was full of hope and optimism, and mostly progressive Catholics. Not so much us more traditional Catholics, right? But the progressive Catholics were very much you know, hoping for a lot of changes in the structure and a lot of changes inside of just in general. And so everyone was very surprised when pretty much nothing's happening. You know, I mean, like, we've literally sat here for the past, you know, 25 days now, and nothing has happened at all inside of this, with this synod. You know, we thought that we would see married priesthood. That didn't happen. We thought we would see women becoming deacons. That's off the table. You know, there's so many things that were talked about and have been vamped up for the past 2 years, and we're basically coming to this period where it didn't mean nothing. Like, nothing's happening. So we are, yeah, we're looking into that, and we are following that. And the documents, the final documents, the draft already came out, but the final documents should come out tomorrow, and it'll be voted on by everyone in the Synod. And then the Pope will end up writing an encyclical or some type of apostolic exhortation or something about it. So, in other words, so that's happened. The other thing that's actually come out of the Vatican, which is an absolute beauty of a reflection, is on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so those of you that don't know, you know, I have a huge devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I always have. I've had a devotion to the Sacred Heart since I became Catholic in 2011. And so very excited about this encyclical. I just started reading it yesterday. I haven't really gotten too far into it, but it seems to be very good so far and very beautiful. And for those who are interested, I would implore you that you maybe go check it out. It is called Dilexit Nos, which means on the human and divine love of the heart of Jesus, right? And what's so what a beautiful, beautiful reflection on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And good, because, you know, in light of the coming activity that we'll have here on November 4th, where we'll continue for the third straight month our devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus with the First Friday devotions. So very beautiful. I hope to be able to preach on that whenever we get to November 4th. And, you know, hopefully I'll have it read by that point so we can kind of talk more about it, you know. But it's just an amazing reflection so far, and I hope that it continues that way. But I'll give you guys more information as I read more through it and finish it up. It just got launched. I think it was just launched yesterday. I want to say it was just launched yesterday, so it's a very, very new encyclical. But yeah, just something to think about and something to reflect on, maybe, and consider reading. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, and this is going to be our primary activity for, you know, reflection for the day, one could say, is I wanted to talk about the Eucharist, because I've had a lot of conversations lately on the Eucharist, and there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, right? They take more of a Lutheran perspective, right, where it's consubstantial, which doesn't make any sense to me, but it is what it is. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with consubstantiation is with the substance. So the idea basically is that the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Eucharist, is side by side with the substance of bread, but it is not fully Jesus Christ, right? Whereas in the Catholic tradition, in the Orthodox, right, we believe in what we call transubstantiation, right? Transubstantiation, in which case we believe that the substance changes, even at the base level, into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So there's a big difference there, because basically one is a symbol, right? There is some element of belief that it has Jesus there, but it's not fully Jesus. And one of the problems that I have with consubstantiation is just because, like, if you say that, you know, if you say that's the case, that Jesus just comes in and, you know, like, you know, in a half-baked way, just takes half of it, doesn't completely consume, right? What does that say about your theology, you know? At the end of the day, God is a consuming fire. He consumes us. When we decide to follow him fully, and this is the hardest part, right? This is the hardest part about being a Christian, about following the Christian life. The hardest part is that when we are called to Christ, that we've got to actually just, we have to enter into the fullness of that relationship. And it's an all-consuming fire. God is an all-consuming fire. And so what we're seeing in reality, right, is this consuming fire takes over us wholly and completely. And the same thing happens inside of the Eucharist. When Jesus comes down by the power of the Holy Spirit and the bread and the wine are transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, he doesn't just half bake it. He just doesn't like, oh, okay, I'm half here, guys, but I'm only half here, okay? Don't get excited. I'm half here. No, that's not our God. Our God is so loving, so kind, so gentle, so merciful, so beautiful, so caring. He is a good father. We don't want a father that's half there. We want a father who's all there. We want a father that's there all the time. And so Jesus, when he comes into the Eucharist, the bread of life, he just doesn't half come into the bread. He fully comes in. He fully consumes the substance that we might become what he is. We might fully become what he is. There's actually a really good part in the Mass after when the priest is in the process of the purification. He says, very quietly to himself, of course, but he says, "What has passed our lips as food, O Lord? May we possess in purity of heart, that what has been given to us in time may be our healing for eternity." Let me say that again. What has passed our lips as food, O Lord, may we possess in purity of heart, that what has been given to us in time may be our healing for eternity. Okay, let's break that down, right? What has passed our lips as food, seemingly bread, right? Because when we eat that bread, let's all of us be honest, okay? You know, a lot of people have food allergies. They have gluten allergies or bread allergies, right? Wheat allergies. They eat the bread. They get an allergic reaction, okay? So one could say, okay, well, clearly it's still bread. No one's disagreeing that it's not bread, right? But what we're saying is that it's also fully Jesus. And just as Christ, when he came into this world, was fully God and fully man, the bread of life that we receive at the altar is fully God and fully bread, in some sense of the word. The substance is not bread, right? So therefore, it is changed. It's been transformed. But inside of ourselves, right, when we possess this food and we possess it with the purity of heart, right, when we receive it with purity of heart, we become like God. God lives in us. We become tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit radiates out of us, the light and divinity of God radiating. Just as it radiates energy out of the tabernacle, it radiates out of us. It goes to say that what has been given to us in time may be our healing for eternity. Okay, so I want to break this down real quick, right? That what has been given to us in time, maybe our healing for eternity, we have received the body and blood of Jesus Christ in time. We are in time. But we pray that by receiving this bread of life, which Jesus says in John 6, anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life within you, right? That it would heal our souls from sin and lead us into the heavenly places. This is the ultimate desire of receiving the Eucharist, right? This is the whole reason why we say all of these things. Like right before we receive communion, what do we say? We say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. How beautiful, how beautiful. You know, because in essence, what we're actually saying is that we're saying that we are not worthy to receive him, that we recognize that this is not just bread, right? This is truly Jesus. In the after communion prayer of thanksgiving, it says, Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us. So that prayer is saying that by Jesus coming upon the altar, he is giving us favor and goodness. He's giving us promises, right? That we are very members and corporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. So there's several activities, actions going on in here, right? We are conforming to the divine will. We're receiving and acknowledging graces, goodness, and favor that the Lord has given to us through reception of the Eucharist. You know, and we are reminded that we are heirs to the kingdom of God. All of these things, brothers and sisters, is so beautiful because what it teaches us is that this Eucharist, this breaking of the bread, this gift from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not something that we just take for granted, but rather there is actual graces, there's actually something being received. It is not just going to church and eating bread. It is going to church, hearing and listening to the Word of God, receiving the favor and the goodness of the Lord in the Eucharist. And then after we've done all of that, what do? We go forth and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Because that's the ultimate goal. Now, in the in the rite that we use, because we use the Anglican use rite that's provided and was built and it was developed for the ordinariates, right, of the Catholic Church. You know, it doesn't end this way, but in the Novus Ordo, it does end this way, and I think it's actually very beautiful because I think it kind of tells a little bit more. It says, "Go forth." The Mass is ended. Or, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Or, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. All of these are options. And they go along with this prayer so beautifully, because what they do is they tell us that our mission is out there. We're not supposed to live in the church. That's not our mission. Our mission is to go out there. Our mission is to bring Christ to others, not to hoard him for ourselves, as the man with the two grain towers did, right? But rather, we are to spread the seed to all people and let Christ's divine love grow in the world. We cannot be bigots. We cannot be haters of men. Because if we do such things, then we are no different than the world. But rather, we have to show love and compassion to all people, because pastorally, it is our mission to guide the world to God, to Christ. And that's a big ask. That's hard. You know, it's really, really hard. But, you know, we can totally do it. And I have such faith that we can do it. But brothers and sisters, I just pray and ask that, you know, as we enter into the weekend, right, maybe pray and ask the Lord, you know, what is it that you are being called to do? What is it that the Lord is asking you to do? And if you don't want to look like way in the future, that's fine. Take it one day at a time. When you wake up, when your feet hit the floor, just say, Lord, what is it that you ask of me to do today? Show me your will, that you might be glorified. And then just drive forward. Go and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. So many good things, so many things to reflect upon. But that's our reflection for today. And so I pray and hope that was helpful to you in some way, shape, or form. But that's pretty much the gist of it, right? So let's take that with us in our hearts, and let's carry it forward, and let's end in a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Almighty Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Teach us, O Lord, to do thy divine will. Show us thy holy compassion, that we might walk in thy ways and follow thy commandments. Help us in all things, Lord, for the benefit and greatness of thy glory, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, now and to the ages of ages. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it was great being with you guys this morning, and hopefully, I'll see you next week for our weekly podcast. These will come out weekly, every week, typically every Friday, they'll come out, and I may do a Bible study. If you think that would be a pretty cool idea, send me maybe I'll put a poll on the main website for the Order of St. Columba, and see what kind of response I get. That, and also I'll put it on the Christ Our Hope webpage, which is now Catholic Mission to the Carolina Indians on Facebook. Which is the name of our nonprofit, as we go forth and proclaim the gospel to the native peoples. So with all that being said and done, may the Lord bless you this week. Please pray for all of us who are working in the missions, and may you be eternally blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.